You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
March the 11th, 2020. Hey, I've got light on my computer. It suddenly flashed up, starting Windows. Maybe it's coming back. Well, I've got something. This is going to be... Friends, if you've never been on a wild airplane ride, we're going to have one here. This is not where the pilot comes on, politely says, you might want to tighten your seat belts. We might have a little turbulence up ahead at 35,000 feet. We'll do our best to get around it, but just in the meantime, sit back, and we're not going to be serving any beverages in the meantime. That's where I am now, but I'm in panic mode. Not quite, but everything on my computer just poof, is gone. Coronavirus. And, you know, this is getting out of hand, by the way. Chicago deciding to cancel St. Patty's Day parade, fear of coronavirus. They don't want all those people getting together. Listen, I cannot imagine coronavirus would survive at all in the midst of everybody who goes out to celebrate on St. Patty's Day. There is so much alcohol in play, there will be nothing that would survive other than St. Patty's Day celebrants. But that's what they're going to do. Oh, and by the way, Senator Chuck Schumer says he knows how to stop the coronavirus, and he has information to tell the president. Here's how you do it. You throw money at it. That's his answer. We're going to get into that in more detail. All of these closings and cancellations and changes and fears and schools and don't get anywhere within 3 feet of somebody. And don't shake hands, do a fist bump, or just kind of give them a wink, wink. That could get you in some trouble in some carriers. I'm just telling you. But anyway, don't have any contact with anyone. Is this overreaction? Is it necessary? Is it proper? And yet, with some consideration, a restraint, and yet at the same time that we have gone way over the skis. We're going to have us join again today back on board Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood from the Heritage Foundation. I had him on yesterday. I don't like normally to book the same guest back to back 2 days, but yesterday, in case you missed it, Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood and I talked about coronavirus being possibly weaponized or anything like that, and bioweapons and what's going on in the world right now, reference controlling them, and maybe investigating them, and possibly some future plans to use them or to fight against them. If you missed that program, I strongly encourage you to go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and pull up yesterday's program. Today I want him back to talk about the very question I just raised. Are we overreacting now? We're shutting everything down and schools closing and things of this nature. I just need a good confirmation. We do know one casualty of coronavirus. Bernie Sanders, they're canceling some of their rallies, maybe because nobody cares anymore. Biden is apparently going to cancel some. And we've already had Democrats say if Trump really cared about his constituency, he would cancel his rallies. What did happen yesterday in this primary, the latest? New life for Biden. Biden winning Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Idaho. Is Bernie finished? One Bernie supporter is quoted as saying the GD plane just crashed into the mountain. Dr. Gerard Lamero will be joining us later. He had previously predicted that Bernie Sanders would survive this primary and that Bernie Sanders would be facing Donald Trump in the general election. I want to hear from the doctor. Does he still support that thought, or what else is in play here? Is it going to be the fact that some of the Bernie Sanders people, they like to talk a good game, but to go out and vote, that's really a lot of extra effort. I mean, can I just say I like it, and my thought process will make him president? They did not have the turnout they expected. Did not have the turnout they needed. So we're going to take a closer look at that. And all of my issues, I think, began, and I'm going to put it all on my director, Quentin. Coming in late today. Sent me a notice. Sorry I'm running behind. I had to do some serious cleaning at the house. I spilled shrimp juice all across the living room. Now, I don't know how you do that, and I certainly don't know how you're going to get the smell of that shrimp juice out of your living room. That's on you and your family. Maybe this is going to be a whole new coronavirus concern. Shrimp juice everywhere. Hey, let your friends and neighbors, even your enemies, know. We're back on the air, and it's going to be a wild ride. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices, John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, I'm going to be blunt. We are very worried about the president's incompetence and lack of focus on fighting the spread of coronavirus. We believe that his lack of focus is hamstringing efforts to address this public crisis and inflicting pain on the stock market. One word could describe thus far the administration's response: incompetence.
Senator Chuck Schumer, for you. It was only a matter of time before they're going to be very direct, or as he said, very blunt about it. They're pretty much blaming the coronavirus upon President Trump. And, of course, what's happening now, they're blaming on President Trump. Here he said again, we're very worried about the president's incompetence and the lack of efforts to address this public crisis. Now, that's very interesting, because just yesterday we heard from Governor Gavin Newsom of California, not a big Trump supporter, certainly the state of California, not Trump country. And he said, you know, the president has been on the phone with me before he did a public address and talked about what we need. He said, we're going to be there for you, help you out. He said, everything we've asked for, they said they're going to do, they've done. He said, I'm very happy. I'm just wondering if some are pulling the governor aside and saying, We need to check you, sir. Check your temperature. You might have come down with a severe coronavirus that suddenly has you endorsing Donald Trump. But you got other governors, of course, standing the ground hard, such as New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. He's declared a state of emergency, as did the governor of California, which the other day when the governor of California decided to declare a state of emergency for California based on one case at that point of coronavirus. I said, you want to make it, that is your state of emergency? You've had San Fran S-hole and your other cities filled with people pooping, urinating anywhere they choose in your streets, and that was not an emergency. Now you make this an emergency, coronavirus. But here back to New York, Governor Cuomo declaring his state of emergency and specifically of accusing the Centers for Disease Control of having, quote, handcuffed the states by not approving New York and other state labs to test for coronavirus for a period of time. And I'm not sure what he's talking about. They're always interested in any kind of test they could get. Now, we were told the other day that by the end of this week, there should be something like 4 million test kits available to go out across the nation. I don't know where we stand on that, and I don't know who you're going to blame at this point for it. But Cuomo, since he's a Democrat, they do like to weaponize anything they can. And if there's any failure whatsoever, any issue unanswered, not directly affected to their satisfaction, it's going to become a weapon they will use to beat the Republicans over the head with repeatedly. So Cuomo, appearing on today on NBC, said, we have to take action. We have to do something. This is not going to stop spreading on its own. We're going to determine our fate, and we're going to have to take action. This is the same guy that was praising the other day that, hey, we can make hand sanitizer in our state prison system a lot cheaper than the companies do. Well, of course, you're using forced labor, as in prison labor, paying them something like 50 cents an hour to make your hand sanitizer. You wait and see what happens for any U.S. company says, we're going to employ everybody at 50 cents an hour to make hand sanitizer. You wait and see what would happen. But what he wants to do, along with the leaders like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, how much of this can we put on the back of Donald Trump? As if Donald Trump was case zero, that it all originated. Trump has had some proposals. In fact, one of the things he offered immediately was temporarily eliminating the payroll tax to boost the economy. And it did, I mean, the stock market took off on that. They liked the idea of that. He wanted to reduce the payroll tax for employers and employees from 14.4% to zero. Great idea. I mean, everybody seemed to like it, except for the Democrats. Because, again, they don't think he's going about it right. And yet, at the same time, when Schumer says he knows how best to stop the virus, what's he turned to? Money. The words of Senator Schumer.
Let me tell President Trump what does stop the spread of coronavirus. Steady, smart, scientific, and competent leadership from the government. President Trump and his administration should be putting people before corporations, and they should be focused on taking appropriate steps to keep the American people and their economic security safe.
Now, I want you to listen to that again, because in the midst of that is the word money. It's somewhat subtle, but it's there. We're going to play it again, and I'll help you interject money where it is needed, where he is definitely indicating it. Once again, Senator Schumer telling the president what's needed to stop coronavirus.
Let me tell President Trump what does stop the spread of coronavirus.
Money.
Steady, smart, scientific, and competent leadership from the government.
And money.
President Trump and his administration should be putting people
and money
before corporations.
Yes,
and they should be focused
yes
on taking appropriate steps to keep the American people and their economic security
money
safe.
Money, money again, economic security. That's what he did, keeping their economic security safe. I want to take you back in time. The Democrats who are condemning Trump's proposed payroll tax cut as you just heard Schumer say, this is incompetent. You don't know what you're doing. You're not still doing it right. You're not stopping coronavirus. None of this is going to stop coronavirus on either side. It's not going to stop it. It's providing funding and ability and ways to fight it and survive it and take care of those who are being hurt at the time. And yes, big corporations are a big part of this deal. Cruise lines, airlines, the people they employ, not just in those in flight, but those behind the scenes, mechanics, booking agents, everything. That is our economy, Chuck Schumer. Now, they recognize that when Obama did something similar. Oh, yeah. When Obama did this, when Obama came up with a payroll tax cut, do you remember this? This was back in 2010. The same Democrats that are currently condemning President Trump's proposal to eliminate payroll taxes during the coronavirus outbreak, when Obama proposed a 2% payroll cut, 2% cut in 2010, Pelosi, working with Democrat leaders on their own stimulus package, has said Trump's dramatic payroll cut, more than 2%, won't do anything because it's tax cuts for major corporations. Well, hell yes, they're going to get some of the advantage of it. They're the ones suffering as well. They're the ones who employ all the folks that are getting payrolls. But when it came down to what Obama wanted in 2010, Pelosi called an extension of Obama's payroll tax cut, quote, a victory for all Americans. It would put nearly $40 per paycheck in the pockets of the average family. That's right. She said, today is a victory for all Americans, for the security of our middle class, for the health of our seniors, economic growth and job creation. The American people spoke out clearly, and thanks to President Obama's leadership, 160 million Americans will continue to receive their payroll tax cut, nearly $40 per paycheck, in the pockets of the average family. And that was based on 2%. How much more is going to go to their pocketbook with a full cut as proposed by President Trump? But Schumer has told you, this president's incompetent, doesn't know anything. It's all focused on helping the major corporations. And what these guys are doing, whether or not they intend to, and I'm not going to say that they don't intend to, I think they want to see mass-scale panic. I do. I think some of the Democrats are saying, you know what, we couldn't get him on Mueller investigation, damn it. All that money and time, we couldn't do it. We couldn't get them on this other stuff. That, damn it. What is it? What do we got? Coronavirus. Hey, coronavirus. Maybe this will be the thing that will be Trump's kryptonite and take him down. In other words, I'm not so sure, my friend, that they are not in favor of seeing it ramp up even more. We have something like 1,000 cases reported across the U.S. at this time, cases reported in at least 30 states, maybe more now. I think we've had less than a dozen deaths. Any death is a shame, but it's not to the level that I think the Democrats really want to see happen. Oh, I know, I'm going to hear from some of you. Larry, no way Democrats want to see Americans die because of coronavirus. I'm not going to say they want to see anybody die, but they wouldn't mind you suffering. They wouldn't mind it if in your throes of making your way to the bathroom trying to, do we have any more toilet paper in the house? Shouting out, damn Trump. They wouldn't mind that at all. You know what the president is reminding all of us? You have no need to panic.
This was unexpected. This was something that came out of China, and it hit us and many other countries. You look at the numbers, I see the numbers with just by watching you folks, I see it. It's over 100 different countries, and it hit the world. And we're prepared, and we're doing a great job with it. And It will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. We want to protect our shipping industry, our cruise industry, cruise ships. We want to protect our airline industry. Very important. But everybody has to be vigilant and has to be careful. But be calm. It's really working out. And a lot of good things are going to happen. The consumer is ready. The consumer is so powerful in our country with what we've done with tax cuts and regulation cuts and all of those things. The consumer has never been in a better position than they are right now.
Now, of course, he's talking primarily the economic picture, but also the health picture right now. There's no reason to panic. I mean, this is in, according to many reports, this is nothing more than a standard flu that may see its course run, maybe not. I know there have been some saying that when we get in the warmer months, it should go away. Well, it's also happening in Africa and the Congo, and that's pretty warm there even now. And apparently it's not just going away. But what we're getting is right now is a president who's keeping a steady hand on it. And all of this concern about Cuomo saying, well, states are not allowed to do what they want to. Well, the CDC apparently did for a while say, let us kind of watch over it closer. We can't just have you go willy-nilly. Now they're saying, states, go ahead and conduct your own lab and facilities to carry out what you need. And I just found an update from Vice President Pence. As I said, they were expecting 4 million tests to be sent to the states by the week's end. Apparently, that's still on schedule. But all of the concern that we see right now, are there efforts underway to push you into panic? Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So while we're away, maybe it's something that had broken earlier, and because of my computer problems, I overlooked it. There's something else the president's doing. Reference his proposal to drop payroll taxes for a while as we go through this. They're now talking about adding a delay or extending the tax deadline of April 15th. In other words, it may not be due April the 15th because of this concern. Ah, now we got some folks interested. But what we have found as we monitor coronavirus moving around the world, some areas obviously hit extremely hard. Some just now seeing a bit of it. Italy and Iran, ironically, are suffering apparently more than as much, I should say, as they did in China. The question that we raised the other day when this first surfaced is, the fear of coronavirus going to be enough for Democrats and all those on the left who've been claiming that we should have open borders, that crossing our border illegally should not be a crime, that anyone that wants to should be able to walk across our border and in our country? Are they rethinking that? Or are they going to just stand by it just because they can't move off that position? President Trump has already addressed the importance of maintaining our national security and health.
We had to change things that were done that were nobody's fault. Perhaps they wanted to do something a different way, but it was a much slower process from a previous administration. And we did change them. We made the changes. But the testing has gone very well. When people need a test, they can get a test. When the professionals need a test, when they need tests for people, they can get the test. It's gone really well. Look, the biggest thing that we did was stopping the inflow of people early on. And that was weeks ahead of schedule, weeks ahead of what other people would have done. In fact, other people mostly would probably not have done it even till now. And that's made a big difference.
And a lot of those complaining when the president started initiating those checks and screening, and from some countries, we're not going to let them in until they've been fully evaluated. He immediately, again, got labeled racist. He got labeled racist. The Chinese jumped in on that bandwagon saying, you're making racist remarks about us and our people. And, of course, the libs bought into it. But I got a piece of copy here that this is according to the Department of Homeland Security. Since the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan was reported in late December, and the U.S. imposed that travel ban from those entering from China, border agents have detained 333 Chinese nationals attempting to enter the U.S. illegally. That means across our southern border, probably. 333 coming into the country illegally. Is the left so still sold on open borders that they will ignore this kind of threat? And how big of a threat is it? We're going to be joined by my guest coming up, retired Lieutenant Marine Colonel Dakota Wood. Yesterday we talked about using coronavirus and others as bioweapons. Now, national security.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
That name, Waking Bone Man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. Let you want that Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We welcome back retired Lieutenant Colonel of the U.S. Marines, Dakota Wood. Glad to have you back on board, sir.
I call in for your music. It's great.
<Thank you. laughs> Yeah, we have a good mix, don't we?
It's good.
I hand choose those, and then Quentin puts them together where they sound excellent. And for the folks who are joining us today and missed yesterday's, you were with us yesterday. We talked about biochemicals, germ warfare, and things of that nature. And I don't like going to guests 2 days back-to-back because you were gracious enough with your time yesterday. But apparently when it comes to the Heritage Foundation, you're the guy when it comes to dealing with the coronavirus right now.
But everybody's sick of having me around, so I've got a viral impact.
Not here at all. We're glad to have you. Here's the question, though, I want to kind of focus on today. It still has somewhat of a spinoff of yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing all of these schools closing, all of the things that are being shut down, various events being canceled. Bernie Sanders, probably using as an excuse now, we're not going to have any rallies because we fear coronavirus. Biden is also backing down off of some of his. There have been calls for Trump not to hold rallies. Are we way, way overboard and way on over our skis to say we can't have these mass gatherings, folks going to sporting events and so forth?
Yeah, I think there is an overreaction. I think there's a social psychosis that's kind of, you know, crept into, driven by the media, kind of overreaction. Now, the phrase you always hear is an overabundance of caution. There is so much that really isn't known about how to deal with this particular virus, and the unknown breeds uncertainty and fear and stress levels. I mean, I get that. There's also a liability issue here. You know, if you as an organizer for a big event have something, somebody gets sick, you know, could you see some kind of litigious future, you know, lawsuits or, you know, catching blame or something along those lines? And then there's an element of wanting to appear to be sensitive to, you know, the concerns of people. You know, if they're, you know, hearing all the things that are in the media and, you know, getting together is going to be a death sentence and stuff like that, you know, you want to show that you're being responsible. So I think those kinds of factors are driving this behavior. But on the other side, if we really wanted to kind of calm the turmoil, we should be fact-based. We should be kind of calm in how we address these things. We should provide context. You know, which demographic slices of the population are more at risk than others, right? How does this compare to a standard flu season? What mechanisms do we have to confront a viral, you know, transmission like what we're dealing with? And basically it comes down to hand washing, not coughing on each other, you know, basic hygiene sorts of things solves 80 or 90% of the problem. So,
and in fact, you raised a point that, yep, I was going to next anyways, that every year we have 5 to 10,000 die of flu, and a couple, 3 years ago, we had something like 20,000 plus die of flu. So it depends on, yeah, the strain and the vulnerability. And a lot of folks didn't go to the movies then. They canceled a lot of things, right, on their own. But it was the flu.
Yeah, if you look at CDC statistics on this, the numbers are actually much higher than that. You know, they'll say average between 20,000 and 60,000. So if you cut the middle there, it's about 35,000, 40,000 people every year in the United States alone die from complications caused by influenza, you know, pneumonia and those other sorts of things. And you have millions that actually come down with some, you know, some type of that, or, you know, some level of severity. So, you know, it's so normal. You get the flu vaccine, we have medications to deal with the symptoms that are presented, and you're just kind of mitigating the severity of this sort of thing. But it's something that's known, whereas with this coronavirus, a lot of it is unknown. And again, it's that uncertainty that breeds a lot of this stress that comes along with it.
Well, I tell you what broke it for me today. What I saw coming out of Chicago, the word in Chicago, they were going to cancel the St. Patty's Day parade for fear of coronavirus. And I'm thinking, there's nobody's going to be that parade that would be susceptible to the flu if they're drinking as much as they normally do.
You know, if alcohol is the great, you know, you know, killer of germs, I guess that wouldn't be a problem. But, you know, this, I mean, historically, not so much isolation, but social distancing is the term that's being used. You know, keeping a little bit of separation. When somebody coughs, a droplet that might be carrying a virus goes no more than 4 or 5 feet, you know, before you just don't have a lot of energy and it falls to the earth and that kind of thing. So, you know, cleaning surfaces, door handles, washing your hands, those sorts of things. And then this kind of a quarantine thing where you're limiting, in most ways voluntarily, congregating very close together in packed, you know, audiences, like at a theater or something along those lines. So, I mean, those are sensible precautions.
I've seen some numbers that theater audiences are off, but still, and sporting events have been changed. Airline flights are down.
Absolutely.
Traffic is down. We do understand that.
Yeah, airlines, just talking with a colleague who flew in from Germany, he said all the airplanes coming over are half full, if that much. You know, I'm flying to Lithuania on Saturday, and I expect to be, you know, very light in terms of passenger traffic. You know, Washington Dulles Airport
is almost
a ghost town.
Since you brought up Germany, mm-hmm. Washington Dulles is a ghost town. Now, that's
right.
Anybody who's been through that airport would realize what that could be. And I don't know what's going on O'Hare. I haven't seen the latest. But since you mentioned Germany, this is the other key that I've been pushing. For the left, who has been saying we don't need to make it a law to cross our border illegally, you should mm-hmm. not have to be charged with anything, we should have open borders. Germany, Angela Merkel, is now predicting 70% of her nation will get coronavirus, and we know they've basically taken in refugees, right, unvetted, unchecked, unhealth examined, and they're expecting that. Italy now exceeding 10,000 cases. They are calling this the new China is Europe. Hundreds of Chinese migrants detained at a U.S. border since we've had this breakout. 300-plus Chinese nationals trying to enter our country illegally. Do you think do you think this will make some wake up and say the idea of security is not just to keep jihadists out, but disease?
This is not a racist thing, right? It's not targeting a particular people because of their ethnicity or religion or skin color or whatever it might be. It is, do you have a mechanism to filter people in so that you know what pathogens might be coming in? You know, people coming from certain parts of the world that do not have public health care systems. You know, they don't have the medical infrastructure. And so diseases that are unknown in the United States are commonplace in other parts of the world, right? So do you want to filter out that kind of thing? It's not the individual. It's a potential security or economic challenge. Do you want people coming in that have skills and something to contribute, you know, to what the United States is doing economically and intellectually and that kind of stuff? Or are they going to be a burden on the system, right? So this is not an racial, ethnic, religious sort of thing. It is what's in the best interest of the country. We've taken people from all over the world for our entire history, right? But when you have unfettered immigration, like what you're talking about there in Germany and these other countries, it's going to cause problems. It just does. I mean, that's what the track record shows.
And then you also have Iran mm-hmm. blaming our U.S. sanctions on the spread of coronavirus in the Iran regime.
Yeah, and absolutely nothing to do with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have
how do they possibly draw the line between the dots? I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, North Korea is an example. Your people are starving, but you can build nuclear weapons. So where are your priorities? You know, with the regime in Tehran, there in Iran, if you're not allowing social and intellectual discourse, you know, to go on between your people and the outside world, if you're restricting things that could come in and actually help the society, like education and medical care and Western technologies and those sorts of things, and you're trying to export violent extremism, you know, religious-based extremism sorts, well, don't be surprised if you then have problems within your own society because you have constructed a framework within which people live by fear, where the ruling regime is always concerned about maintaining power, and you just can't allow openness. And openness and transparency and clarity and exchanging of information and tell people what's going on, I think breeds legitimacy, it breeds authenticity, and it actually enables the types of tools and assistance that any people would want to coming their way to deal with these kinds of public health problems.
And yet we've already had it documented of illegals coming across the border that had brought in TB mm-hmm. and brought in various forms of diseases that we thought were eradicated, or at least that we've not seen in our culture for decades, mainly because of either lack of care or improper care or no care.
Yeah, at Ellis Island, right, when we had all these immigrants coming in from Europe pouring into New York City and all those sorts of things, there was a screening process there. You know, what are your skill sets? Are you coughing up blood? You know, those sorts of things. And a mechanism to, again, do this filtering or triage kind of system.
And it wasn't considered racist at that point?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
The point, because it was accepted on the basis of what?
Yeah, well, protection of the larger society and
yeah.
making sure that if problems are being introduced, at least you've identified them and you can then provide appropriate support, right? So if we had somebody coming in, you can screen for some kind of viral infection or some kind of disease like you've just mentioned. Can they be ported in a direction where they get adequate care, or they can resolve that problem before coming back into the country, and then they're a useful, viable, great neighbor and citizen, and they're contributing to all the things that we love about America.
Sir, again, we thank you for your time. 2 days back-to-back, that's asking a lot of you, but I know the audience always enjoys it when you're on board with us.
Blessing being with you. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, retired with the Heritage Foundation. Excellent guest. Always enjoy having him. And if you missed yesterday's interview, where he's talking about biochemical warfare and the issue of coronavirus and other such items, you need to go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and hear that. And in the meantime, stand by for what Nancy Pelosi has to say about coronavirus.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, When the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you. In the way you look tonight.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, this news should not be that new. I mean, we should have expected this before now. But the World Health Organization is now officially declaring coronavirus is a pandemic. That means an epidemic, of course, active breakout in a particular region. Pandemic, it's gone beyond that barrier, be it a border, whatever it might be. Coronavirus cases, apparently now more than 115,000 worldwide. The CDC saying that some coronavirus-related deaths have been found posthumously. In other words, they were not originally attributed to coronavirus. But in autopsies, they've decided that, yes, it had a relationship. As we were discussing previously with Dakota Wood, you need to be aware of what's happening. You don't want to panic. Meeting with different groups and so forth, look at the category of the people, where they've been, things of this nature, that helps you make some determination. That's why some schools are canceling any trips to foreign countries. And I know many foreign exchange students that were looking to go back home or trying to come back to the U.S. are now kind of in limbo. And many here that maybe were looking to spend this spring semester in Italy finishing up their courses, they're in limbo, and it may or may not happen. Some of those things, yes, we do need to do. But what do you think about just emptying locations such as the District of Columbia, D.C., the Capitol? Wait a minute. You don't jump ahead of me. Some of you are saying, I've been voting for that forever. Empty it entirely. Well, in the light of what's going on now with coronavirus, here's what happened. House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler, Democrat, New York. Of course, you got to see him a lot during the impeachment of President Trump. He apparently made a remark in a closed-door caucus meeting on the deadly illness being coronavirus. Let me see. Let me get this here. There's no one in Congress that is showing any signs whatsoever, even though some Republican members were at the CPAC conference where a guy supposedly had coronavirus. Some members of Congress have voluntarily, such as Senator Ted Cruz, decided to stay home, self-quarantine. Five Republicans, actually, including the president's incoming chief of staff, Congressman Mark Meadows, because they might have come in contact with that person and yet still showing no symptoms. Congressman Gaetz, who flew with President Trump aboard Air Force One on Monday, said he's going to take a couple of weeks off because he realized later that he had also been in contact with someone at CPAC that might have been exposed to coronavirus. So in a closed-door meeting, keep that in mind, House Judiciary Chair Jerry Nadler suggests maybe we should just get all of us out of D.C. All the Democrats should leave the nation's capital. I'm for that, and yet look at the reasoning. Nancy Pelosi is going to get my praise at this moment. Stand by. This doesn't happen often. Mark the time and the date. As Larry Connor says this about Nancy Pelosi and praising her. When there were remarks like Jerry Nadler that we should, as Democrats, maybe we should just get the hell out of Dodge, Washington, Nancy Pelosi responded, "We are the captains of the ship. We are the last to leave." Nancy, I'm going to give you praise for that. You've been all over the wall when it came to what Trump is doing or not doing about coronavirus. doing anything you can to undercut him and make it look like he doesn't know what he's doing. But I'm going to give her credit for acknowledging, as a leader of Congress, you are the captains of the ship. What do you think would happen for the perception of the public if all of the Democrat legislators suddenly said, we're coming home for vacation a little earlier. We've got nothing else to do here. What do you think the impact would be? Aside from maybe something actually getting done. Now, I'm trying my best to stay away from the political benefits. I'm trying to deal with just the fact that Nadler would actually suggest in a closed-door meeting, maybe we should just all leave D.C. during this time. Because we're right here in the midst of all these people that rub elbows and get within 3 feet of us. Of course, this could be another way for... I wonder if the press corps is going to quit moving as a group as they go down the hallway shooting pictures and so forth. Huh. All right. Coming up at the next hour, what the dickens happened to Bernie? As one of his advisors said, the GD plane flew into the mountain. He survived for now. What next? We got that story. It's all coming up in the next hour. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.